Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, July 24th, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Sierra is in Denver this evening, giving her support to a friend whose daughter was critically wounded in the tragic shootings there. And we ask that each of you send the emerald ray of healing to all of those whose lives have been affected by such a tragedy. Now, on a lighter note, we have another great show for you this evening with our featured guest, Linda Shea, dolphin ambassador, spiritual healer, dolphin energy healer, and founder of Dolphin Heart World. Her new book, entitled Dolphin Love from Sea to Land, is her true life adventure story and her love story with dolphins. She facilitates the connections between people and dolphins as she channels their energies with their message, "It is our desire to heal the hearts of humanity." Her website is Dolphin Heart World, and that's Dolphin, H-E-A-R-T, world.com. At the top of the show, we have our Starseed News segment with Anastasia, and tonight's news will include a mysterious crater on Mars with a hole in it, as you will see pictured in the little player there on your screen, and also space-time crystals and other topics of interest to Starseed. We want to thank Chris for hosting the switchboard this evening, and we invite you to call in with questions or comments tonight, and that number is 917-889-8292. And then remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, we encourage you to click follow on our show page. You'll get show notices, and it will help promote our show and guests. And then remember to tell a few friends about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. We'd also like to thank Rose, Anastasia, and Sahar for their continuing great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. We'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. We also offer a Stage 4 support service with Sierra for readings, especially with contactees and abductees. And if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. Please allow 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure you get it in time. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Good evening, ladies. How are you doing?
Lavendar here.
Good evening, everybody. Nice to be with you tonight.
Well, we're glad that you could make it. I know that Anastasia called me just minutes before the show, and there was terrible, terrible storms, electrical, and the power was flashing, and she didn't know she could be on, and then all of a sudden they went away, so we're so glad about that.
Yeah, that's right. We're happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Mercury retrograde, there's all kinds of things that just are unexpected, and you have to roll with it.
This has been such a week for that. It's just been incredible. I don't know that I've ever seen it quite this severe, and at least that's how it's manifested on this end.
Yeah, well, that's Mercury retrograde.
So, communications and all, yes.
Uh-huh. We're going to get started with the Starseed news in just a moment, but I want to tell everybody that we are leading a Starseed Crystal Quest to Hot Springs, Arkansas, It's in October from the 14th to the 20th. And we have a few spots open, but only those people, if you've had your chart done either by Lavendar or myself, and you have the markings for Crystal Mastership, Lavendar, you want to go over those markings? Just quickly tell people what to look for to see if they're interested in coming on this trip. They have to have the markings.
Yes, that would be 25, 26, or 27 degrees of Aquarius, Leo, Cancer, Capricorn, Scorpio, or Taurus, because the Taurus and Scorpio is the Pleiadian markings, and the Atlantean markings are Aquarius and Leo, and the Crystal Mastership is Capricorn and Cancer. Also, if you have 22 degrees of Cancer or Capricorn. So look at your charts and see if you have those, and if you do, and if you're interested in this Starseed Crystal Quest, then please email us, and then we'll send you the information, because we only have a few spots left. And just before the show, I said, you know, maybe we should open this up, because I haven't had a chance to go through all the charts to see who really qualifies, and I've sent some out, and if someone is really feeling the strong urge to go to Hot Springs, Arkansas and dig for crystals and be part of this crystal quest, I would not want to you know, they couldn't come just because I couldn't get around to getting their chart done.
Well, there you have it. It's October 14th through the 20th. And if you do, if you are interested and you have the markings, the email address to use is crystals, plural, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-S, had to think about that, crystals at starseedhotline.com. If you do have the urge to go, email there, and I will send you the information that you can look at. Okay, so now, Anastasia, with the Starseed News segment.
All right. Before I start, I want to thank all of the Starseed listeners that sent me wonderful emails last week, and I apologize that I didn't get back to most of you. I was in a metaphysical forum all week and am really backed up with my emails. So even though that you were kind enough to email me, just be patient. I will certainly get back to all of you. I want to acknowledge, first off, though, Michelle, who wrote to me from Uruguay. And she reported that she's not only seeing UFOs, but she's hearing sky sounds. And that was really interesting. She said that she's been hearing them on a regular basis. She's going to try to record them for us on her BlackBerry. And she said that they sound like strange cracks and bumps. And it's winter in Uruguay. I didn't even think about that. But she said it's quiet. There's nobody else down there. And during the night, she's hearing these sounds in the stillness. So I think that's very interesting, and I want to thank you, Michelle, for your email and for the wonderful links that you sent. And she did send me a link that I wanted to share with the Starseed listeners, and that is that Uruguay has declassified all of their UFO files, along with the UK and I think some other countries, I think Sweden. I can't think offhand who they are, but anyway, Uruguay is now doing that. And so that's available online. If you want to Google Uruguay UFO files, I'm sure you can come up with that, because those are available on the Internet. So thank you very much, Michelle. And everybody else that's written, I love all of you. And like I said, I'll get back to you. So we want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the skies. Tonight, those of you that are going to be able to catch this just after sunset, I want you to look westward. For the crescent moon, you're going to see Mars and Saturn, and the first magnitude star, Spica. They're all four converging in a loose but a very beautiful and brilliant grouping of night lights. So that's going to be a nice way to end the day. And yesterday, a very fast CME, coronal mass ejection, on the far side of the sun, blasted away from the sun with a very rare speed. This only occurs maybe once every 5 to 10 years, but it was going 7.6 million miles per hour.
Oh.
Wow. And it came right off the sun from that troublesome sunspot, AR-1520, that gave us our X-class flares, our M-class flares within the last couple of weeks alone. Now, fortunately, this active region of the sun is now transiting to the far side. So yesterday's blast was, thankfully, not geo-effective. But had it been headed our way, it's well, we could just imagine what kind of electromagnetic storms that would have created. So the sun has been very active, and I would be interested to know from any of our starseed listeners if they're still experiencing the daylight fatigue syndrome that we've talked about. I do tend to feel like it may be waning for some while picking up for others, so any emails about that you want to share with me would be wonderful. All right, our news item, our big news item tonight that is so tantalizing that I wanted to finish last week and I couldn't. We were talking about pyramids last week, if I can remind everybody, all the news of the pyramids, and that sort of correlates with what we're going to talk about tonight, just a little tiny bit as we get toward the end of the story. But they are finding now that space-time crystals will soon become a reality. And they're exotic structures, and that's what they're calling them, space-time crystals. And the research is being carried out by a collaboration of physicists, both in the United States and China. Now, if you'll notice or remember from my previous reports that China is really now very active, coming forth in the articles that I'm finding, with all kinds of high-tech, very futuristic type experiments. So China is very scientifically active. Anyway, nevertheless, the researchers working together developed an idea that was originated by a theoretical physicist named Frank Wilczek. And he's from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology here in the U.S. But they've shown how a crystal made of trapped ions can rotate persistently, even when it's in its lowest energy state. And that enables it to break temporal as well as spatial symmetry. Now, breaking temporal symmetry simply means that an object or a collection of particles experiences some kind of systematic change in time. And as the physicists have pointed out, this works with planets in the solar system as well as with clocks, except these systems were set in motion by an external energy source, but they will eventually run down. The difference is that they don't break the time continuum. So they realize now that superconductors come close to acting in this way because they exist in their lowest state, but they still transmit an electrical current, but they don't change in time. So what they're trying to do is to turn superconductors into time crystals, and they figured out how to do that by varying their currents to give them a temporal peak. And the rest of it's pretty complicated, so I won't get into that. Now, I want to talk... I mean, you know, it's easy to get lost. The Chinese researchers, however, are taking a little bit different tact, and what they have to say is very interesting. First of all, they take these crystals and they trap ions in them at very low temperatures, and they do what they call exploit their mutual repulsion, so that they arrange themselves into a ring shape. Can you visualize this? Like a,
I'm trying.
I can see this. Yeah, I can see this big machine, you know, like a time machine, except this is tiny, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they say these are very similar to the construction of a conventional crystal. And they set up a magnetic field with certain values across this ring, and the ring can be made to rotate continuously in its lowest energy state. Now, isn't that interesting when you think about it? A low energy state, not a high energy state. And then, in that modality, it becomes a space-time crystal. Now, the actual challenge that they said they face in building this device is cooling the ions in small enough traps and in significantly low temperatures. But they're confident that they can do it, and they say that once built, such a device would, and I'm going to quote this, provide a new dimension for exploring many body physics and emerging properties of matter, and that it would improve our understanding of symmetry breaking, whatever that means. And essentially what it does is to explain how particles got their mass when the universe expanded and cooled. And they think that space-time crystals would have practical applications in the fields of medicine and just general physics. But, you know, what's so interesting about this is that a writer named Joseph Farrell, who has a website on the Internet, he's really a very brilliant man, he has shared his hypothesis about this, and this is what I found so intriguing because I was thinking along the same lines, and he really worded it beautifully. He said that he thought the Great Pyramid may have been a sophisticated kind of phase conjugate mirror that manipulates the fabric of the physical medium of life itself. And then he said he also speculated on a type of crystal that would somehow be able to trap and rotate EM waves. And he calls them Phi crystals, since they were suggested to him to be originated by the Phi and the Fibonacci sequence. And he thinks that such crystals would be an integral component of any time machine, and thinking about the connection of that with the pyramids. And so in actuality, the electrons that revolve the tiny metallic rings in this circle that we've been talking about really are the manifestation of zero-point energy. And so when we think about crystals and the metaphysical purpose of the pyramids and all of the things that we're all into, it's very interesting to see that science is now, again, maybe for the first time in this generation anyway, coming to find that crystals have tremendous metaphysical capacity, what we consider to be metaphysical capacity when we think about time travel and altering the temporal dimension. Isn't that exciting? I hope I explained that good enough.
There is that old thing, is just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think I say this about every week, I bring up these stories as supportive of what we know about the capabilities of technology in our distant past, as well as off-planet technologies that people say, well, that couldn't be possible. It couldn't be possible that stones were levitated to build the pyramids, or that time travel is impossible, or interdimensional travel is impossible, when our own scientists are finding ways to do that.
Well, so, definitely science is catching up to what we've already
exactly
already
that's my whole that's my whole entire
for,
point.
Yes.
Right. That's my whole entire
right.
point. So anyway, that's it for tonight. And I thank
okay,
you
well,
for
what,
letting
I,
me
I,
share that
tell
with
us
you.
About, tell us about the whole that whole crater with the hole on Mars, because I've got that picture up on the Blog Talk.
Is that
player.
Not wild? That's just amazing.
Yeah,
I'll have to Mm-hmm,
when I looked at that, I mean, it looks, it's circular. It's perfectly circular, which I think is odd in the first place. And there's just a hole. It
mm-hmm.
almost looks like an entrance to something.
It really doesn't look like a natural structure. You can't say that was made by nature. I mean, really, I mean, maybe, but doubtful. I mean, when you look at the surface of the picture, you'll see the irregularities on the surface of the planet. They're not round, and yet you see this round structure. It really looks like it is an artificial structure that's been covered up by surface soil and stuff. Absolutely does. And what's that interesting thing in the middle? So, they want to pretend that this is natural, but it looks to me like it may be artificial.
Yeah, I don't think there is anything that has a perfect circle in nature, except maybe a drop of water.
Exactly. Exactly.
I looked at that and I thought, that looks like a portal, a door, an opening.
It absolutely does.
Yes, and it's perfectly round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I looked at it and I thought, oh, that looks like a disc under there. So,
well,
yeah,
you look
it'd be
inside
interesting
the hole. I'm sorry.
See. I would say it'd be interesting to see what our listeners, they may have other suggestions as to what they feel it might be. And that's really, what we do. We put it out there and just give us your thoughts on that, because we certainly don't originate this information. We're just bringing
right, we're
it
just
to your attention.
We're just passing it along. That's
uh-huh.
right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I thought it was fascinating, and I hope that we do get some calls about that tonight, if anybody has anything to provide or
okay.
wants to say anything about it. You bet.
Okay.
But that entry down inside is so thought-provoking. I mean, what is in there? wow. So I'm kind of surprised they shared that with us, but I'm glad they did.
Right, right. Well, it leaks out little by little here and there, we get the whole picture.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, I'm
okay.
looking forward to tonight's program.
Well, as are we, and I'm getting a switchboard up here. Okay, so we are going to now introduce to you Linda Shea, who is the Dolphin Ambassador. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you. It's great being here.
Well, we're so happy to have you here, and I understand you had a really good get together with Lavendar this afternoon, so I'm going to turn this over to Lavendar and let her kick it off.
Oh, thank you, Arielle, and welcome, Linda, to our show. It was such a wonderful session that we had today. I was talking to you about your star markings, and boy, are you starseed.
Well, Lavendar, it helped put so many things into perspective, and some life experiences that I've had that seemed to be out of context for who I am at the small self-personality level when I really stepped into my power and confronted some beings, some people. It helped understand where that came from, and it was just magnificent. I'm going to share your gift with a lot of people because what you're bringing through is really beyond astrology. It was a tremendous gift to receive that. Thank you
okay,
so much.
Thank you so much. So why don't we start, first of all, by telling us kind of how you were back in the 80s with the corporate world and what happened and how you stumbled into knowing what you know.
Very good question. I was a banker in my past life, and I actually loved my work until the industry seemingly changed overnight. I worked for a bank, a major bank in Southern California called Security Pacific Bank. It doesn't exist anymore. It was one of the merge victims, but at the time that I worked for them, their internal management was all promote from within, and I was interacting with the management at the top levels, and there was such loyalty and such care for the employees and for how we did our business. And then as my career advanced and progressed and I became a bank office manager, for the first time they brought in an outside top management person to move the bank in another direction. And seemingly overnight, the whole organization just became all about sales. And it became all about numbers and production, and it just was such an opposite atmosphere of what this bank had been, the company had been, that I started getting sick, and I was miserable, and I was crying myself to sleep at night, and it just wasn't working for me, so I quit. And I did take another job for a couple of years, but even that, it was just, I started having blocks in the organization's ability to receive what I brought to the table. And when that happened the second time, I just knew that I had to stop with that and take some time off and regroup. Right around that time, I was just beginning to awaken to my spirituality. Up until that time, honest to goodness, the word spirituality was not even in my vocabulary. And it shocks me to look back at my life and to know that the world that is so real to me now, that's more real to me, I didn't even know that it existed up until I was about, I don't know how old I was, but I was in my 30s before I started waking up. But once that door opened, the little tiny opening, it's like it blasted open, and I was just propelled on this fast track of awakening, and I was simply led from one experience to another. I began feeling energies and having synchronistic experiences and meetings with people, and part of that brought me to living in Sedona, Arizona, which is where I live now, and for those of you who don't know about Sedona, I think pretty much everybody does, but Sedona is very much a spiritual mecca. A lot of power points on the planet are located here. A lot of people come here for their spiritual awakening and seeking. And I lived here. I was brought here. And that was when my opening really began occurring. I would spend hours on the land. I would just go out hiking by myself and find a place to sit and spend hours letting myself just be. And for a period of, I don't know, about 4 or 6 weeks, I did this every day, and I felt my old self, my corporate life, simply unwind and fall away. And that one of the gifts that came from that was I learned how to enter into the state of pure being. And even at that time, I didn't have this vocabulary. It was simply what unfolded. And I had tremendous catharsis. I had a lot of tears and crying and letting go. And it felt like lifetimes of pain was leaving my body in intense tears every day for weeks. And then once my daily release happened, nature would reveal her mystical aspects to me. So I was having this profound experience on the land of the natural world. The energy that surrounds all of life was revealing itself to me. And I became a student of nature and passionate about what I was being shown, this world of energy. And that really was laid the foundation for the work that later came in with the dolphins, because I live in the desert. And as we know, the dolphins live in the oceans. I'm far from the oceans, but my work is with dolphin energy and dolphin consciousness, and I'm doing this from my home in the desert. And I think part of why I may have been chosen for this work is to serve as a demonstration that we don't need to be physically with the dolphins to receive the extraordinary gifts that they have to give to humanity at this time, that they're truly available to anybody who's open to receive them.
Well, you've written this book called Dolphin Love, From Sea to Land, and on the front it shows the dolphins in the ocean, then it shows this bright orange landscape of Sedona. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And can you tell us a little bit about the first time you really had the dolphin experience?
The interdimensional dolphin experience? Let me see. Yes, I was living in Sedona for a while, and then I moved away, but I was brought back. I've done this dance with Sedona about 4 or 5 times. The second time I came to Sedona to live, I had just had a pretty profound life event happen. I lost my first husband, and I went to live on Hawaii for a short period of time just for my own healing. And when I came back to the mainland, Sedona was the last place that I thought that I would come to live, but it was, again, where I was drawn to return here. And within moments of returning to Sedona for the second time and just going about my life, within every single person that I met and talked to in those early days, within moments of talking to me, whether they were friends of mine from before or new people in my life, they started talking to me about dolphins.
And what do you think that was?
Well, a couple of years before that, I had a telepathic experience when I visited Hawaii. I had a telepathic communication with dolphins, the wild dolphins there, and a message. They transmitted a message to me when I felt myself projecting a question to them. What are you here to teach us? And immediately the answer came back, unity, community. And as I said, I had spent so much time on the land in Sedona and in communication with all of nature that just seemed to be another one of those experiences of being in communication with the natural world, but I didn't give it any importance. And the other thing that happened earlier in my life was one of the very first meditation experiences that I had with a small group of people in the foothills outside of Sacramento, California. When I lived there, this woman, the very, very gifted woman, was leading us all into meditation, and she always did a guided experience, and then she would enter into silence. This particular night, she led the guided part, and then she led us into silence, and I found myself at the beach with my feet standing in the sand and the water lapping up on my toes, looking out at the ocean and feeling magnetically drawn to be entered into the water. So I just walked into the water in this meditation experience that was so incredibly real, and a fin started swimming towards me, and my first reaction was a shark. I thought it was a shark. But something inside what didn't go into fear, I noticed, and what swam up right beside me was a dolphin. I had the most incredible experience with this dolphin during this. It was much more than a meditation. It was actually an experience where this dolphin took me into the depths of the water, of the ocean, into its world, and when I became fearful, we came back up to the surface, and we'd swim around, and I got warm and felt safe again. And as soon as I felt comfortable and safe, we dove again. And we did this dive and come to the surface and dive. And in this experience, this dolphin, it knew me. It knew everything about me. I felt completely seen, completely safe. I felt like this dolphin knew me like no one else knew me, and when it ended, it ended with a leap into the air and coming back down, splashing into the water, and then off in the distance, I heard a woman's voice inviting everyone to return back into this room, back into this space, and when I opened my eyes and saw myself in this room full of people, it was extremely disorienting because the world that I had gone to with this dolphin felt so much more real. At that time, I didn't know about spirit dolphins or spirit guides, and it wasn't until later that I realized upon reflection that was a personal spirit guide of mine in the form of a dolphin that came to me and introduced itself. And then 2 years passed before they surfaced again and started sending me messages that got me to pay attention and to journey with them further.
Well, that just sounds marvelous. I was reading on your book today, and I noticed that people start coming to your house, and you'd have small groups. Can you tell us about some of the experiences that happened there with your small groups in Sedona?
It was wonderful. The dolphins, they had invited me. Well, let me share with you how that started. When I did go to Hawaii and have swam with a pod of wild dolphins and had an experience with one that changed my whole life. And he sonared me, and from that moment forward, I discovered that I had become a vehicle for the frequencies of the dolphins, and that I was able to transmit their healing energy and frequencies to people on land. Sometimes even just through talking about dolphins, people would receive these transmissions from me, from the dolphins. When I returned to Sedona, I was contemplating that experience and wondering what it had to do with my daily life. And again, I was on the land one day sitting on a rock meditating with that question, and I felt this very subtle, soft, beautiful energy come towards me from the right side. And it was a pod of spirit dolphins, and I heard them say to me, "Will you be one of our ambassadors on land?" And will you share dolphin energy healing as your career? So that was the first message that I received while I went, when I had returned to Sedona, about how I was to go about sharing their gifts with humanity from the desert. I was invited then to give a talk to a networking group, and at the end of my talk, when my time was up, there was this huge pregnant pause in the room, and the room was just saturated with dolphin energy. You could reach out and touch it. It was so thick, and nobody said a word. It was just palpable. And I heard myself say to the group, would you like to receive an experience of this energy yourselves? And everyone, of course, said yes. I had never done the energy, given the energy to a group before. I had only given it to individuals. So I said to them, I have no idea. I've never done this before, so this is an experiment. And I was just led through it. It was tremendous, a tremendous experience for everybody. And after that evening, again, my dolphin spirit team came to me and asked me to do these meditations on a regular basis out of my home. And so I opened our home every Sunday night for about 2.5 years and simply put flyers out, and people came from around the world. Literally, we would have 35 or 40 people gathered in our living room every Sunday night, and the dolphins created the space. I didn't know yet about creating space or anything like that. I just opened my heart and said yes, and the dolphins took care of all the details. So people walked into our home and commented that they felt like they were entering into the ocean. We went into the silence with the dolphins, and I really only said a few words and then went into the silence myself, and would stay in that state for about a half an hour. And then the dolphins kind of nudged me when it was time to bring everybody out, and we did, and people would share. And some of the experiences were pretty bizarre. One story that comes to mind is a woman came to me afterwards and said that she felt that she conceived, during the meditation, that she conceived a being inside of her. Her belly grew and grew and grew. She felt all this energy in her belly, and she said that she kept putting her hands on her belly, fully expecting to feel the bump, the pregnancy bump, because she felt completely pregnant. Her belly was flat physically, but energetically it was very pregnant. And before the meditation came to a close, she gave birth. She gave birth to a baby spirit dolphin.
Oh.
When we stood up, at the end, I had everybody stand up and hold hands in a standing circle, and she told me that when she went to stand up, she physically felt the pain. She physically felt like she had just given birth because she was in physical pain. And the next day I contacted her, because that was pretty out there, and I called her up just to make sure she was okay and to assure her that her experience was real on some level, and she had no doubt about that. But she said, what I feel sad about is that I can't be its physical mom in the waters, in the physical waters of this planet. She really felt sad about that. But she knew that the spirit dolphin was a part of her life that she had given birth to. That spirit dolphin, it was incredible.
Wow.
We had other people. I would go around the room at some point and put my hands on heart space just for a couple of moments to amplify the dolphin energy coming into people. And so many of them felt that when I came and put my hand on them, they definitely felt an amplification of the energy. And then when I walked away, many of them still felt my hand there. You know, they heard me move on, but that my hand was still physically on their heart space. People received healings. People had their consciousness just open and expand. A number of people, being in one meditation in our house with the dolphins completely put their life on a whole new course. Some of them followed a dolphin path. They moved to Hawaii. One woman wrote a book. It just, one meditation experience shifted their whole life's course. So it was a very powerful, profound period of time.
I'll say. Well, I just want to interject a little comment here. When I was doing a little dolphin internet researching, I came across an article about a Professor Busby at Texas A&M who was doing research on dolphin DNA. Are you aware of that?
I'm not.
And he found that dolphin DNA has very much in common with human DNA, and as a matter of fact, more so than most other mammals, and there was a lot of it that was just identical.
That I had heard. I just didn't know the scientist's name. Yes, it's fascinating, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Fascinating, yeah.
Yes,
and
it is.
We humans just feel this innate, deep, deep connection to the dolphins, and so many people, they don't know why, they can't explain it, but there is a profound connection between humans and dolphins. Yeah.
Right, and I think it also said that dolphins were the only only species that play like they do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that playfulness, and they just all look like they're smiling to me.
Yes, exactly.
You know, just...
Yes, they just bring us joy just by looking
yeah.
at them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, Lavendar, you can continue. I just wanted to mention that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ariel. So I was also noticing in the book that you had experiences with Dr. Peoples. Can you give us a little story about how you met him and how he came into your life and gave you guidance?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I was, because the dolphins came in, when they came into my life, and when I was asked that question to ask to be their ambassador, it took me a little period of time to say yes to that because it was so outside the box. But when I said yes to that, my other spiritual guides kind of went into the background, and the dolphin consciousness became my primary spiritual teachers and guides. And I didn't know how to communicate with them in English. And so much of my journey was, I didn't know anyone else who was going through the kinds of transformations that I was with the dolphins. And I had periods of time that I was feeling pretty lost and alone and really wanted some sort of human communication, human support. And the dolphins brought this woman into my house. Her name is Summer Bacon. There was a friend of mine was coming to our weekly meditations, and he started dating this woman. And after one of the meditations, he told us that he was dating this woman, and he really, really wanted to bring her over to introduce her to my husband and I. And so we said, of course, and he brought her over. Her name was Summer Bacon, and we sat down in our living room and just started sharing. She started talking about this spirit by the name of Dr. Peebles, whom she was channeling herself. She wasn't channeling professionally. She was channeling him for her own guidance. And she said, would you like to meet him? And we said, well, of course. So we were all sitting on the floor, and she just popped into full trance. And this booming voice came out of this petite young woman, and it was just extraordinary. He introduced himself to us, and he spoke to David first, and then he turned to me, and he said, somebody would like, a very special woman would like to say something to you right now. And I thought, my grandmother, you know, I don't know anybody else who might be wanting to talk to me. And he said, is that okay? And I said, of course. And so her body shifted and the energy shifted. And I heard, thank you. And then the energy shifted, and it was Dr. Peebles again. He said, that was Mother Earth, my dear. And
whoa.
Shivers went through my body, and I thought, oh, my goodness. And she gave me a picture of the way that I always brought those meditation evenings to a close was we would bring planet Earth into the center of the circle and send all of the healing gifts that all of us had received during the meditation to her. And she was thanking me for that. It was so incredible. This man in Summer came over again, and she in Summer did another spontaneous channeling for David and I again. And that time he talked to David and me about our relationship. And he really confronted us with the ways in which we were holding each other at arm's length. He was so right on, and it wasn't what we wanted to hear. But he was so right on. He definitely had my attention. And shortly after that, Summer started doing channelings professionally and having open channeling sessions in her home on a weekly basis, and I just started going as a source of support for me on this dolphin journey. And he, Dr. Peebles, was so helpful and instrumental in keeping me on my path, because there were certainly times that it didn't make sense, that I was struggling and resisting what was going on, not understanding it, feeling like I should be doing something else with my life. And every single time I was in that space, Dr. Peebles would nudge me back and assure me, this is your path. This is what you're here to do. You are here to dissolve the illusion of separation between human and dolphin, between yourself and dolphin. And if it weren't for him, you know, we might not be here today having this conversation. So my gratitude to Summer Bacon and Dr. Peebles for all that the council and the love and the support that I received from them.
I also noticed that you had an experience with Grandma Chandra.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Yes. I had the privilege of meeting Grandma Chandra on one of my trips to the Big Island when I was swimming with the dolphins. She was there for her very first visit to Hawaii. And for those of your listeners who don't know who she is, I met Grandma Chandra when she was about to turn 19, I believe. And she's one of these very, very special psychic children who's come to Earth. She came in with multiple handicaps. So she was unable to walk. She was unable to speak. She is unable to speak verbally. She's conscious to the 12th dimension. She was there with her mother, Kat, and I was invited to attend a small gathering with her to meet her. And I had just myself had a very, very profound awakening experience in January 2003 when I woke up one morning, 7 years in to my own inner dolphin journey. I woke up one morning feeling brand new. Everything about me was I just had the knowing that I was brand new. And I began questioning what happened, what does this mean? And I was able to ask this question to Grandma Chandra, and her mother was there telepathically communicating with us verbally, telepathically with Chandra, giving us her messages. And what Chandra said to me was that I had completed my soul's mission on the planet. And now it was time to return home and heal the hearts of those who were in service to me and those whom I served. And just before I went to Hawaii for that trip, I woke up one morning with the words Dolphin Healing Hearts going through my mind, and I wrote that down and later found out that that was the name of the new Dolphin Spiritual School that I was going to be forming to share the very profound gift that the dolphins had given me through those 7 years. So Chandra was an instrumental part in me understanding what had happened at the soul level and confirming how my work was going to expand and be given birth to in the future. She's an extraordinary being. And later in that trip, I got to be on a boat with her, with the dolphins and the whales, the very first time she was ever on a boat. She perceives herself, she tells everybody that she is a dolphin. And during that boat excursion, I saw dolphins and whales en masse that I have never seen before. It was just extraordinary. And she received the message that she was receiving a healing by the biggest kahuna on the island, and it was a whale. So all of us on the boat were so profoundly touched that she was having this experience, receiving this healing from the whales, and that we got to be present to bear witness to that.
So what you're saying is all these dolphins just came to where she was?
To us, to our boat, yes.
How many
yes.
do you think came?
I couldn't even count them. They were coming from all directions, thousands. And what she told us was that the dolphins, as the dolphins came, they were shifting our frequencies so that we could meet the whales. So they came and they were, I've been to Hawaii a lot and I've had a lot of encounters, but they were literally, the whole horizon was just teeming with dolphins.
Oh.
And almost as quickly as they arrived, once their work was done shifting our frequencies, they disappeared. And in very short order after that, then we happened upon a mother and baby humpback whale. And we began connecting with the mother and baby. And then here comes another whale, here comes another two and three whales, and more whales from this direction. Again, from all directions, humpback whales came to our boat, and the boat traveled 4 miles, and all of these humpback whales escorted our boat, many swimming at the surface, which is very unusual for the humpback. I've been told by the captain that it was very unusual for that to happen, and we were just massively downloaded that entire time. It was extraordinary.
Wow. That vision is just awesome.
It is.
Yes.
So did you start your school by that name?
We did. We did Dolphin Healing Hearts. And there is another phrase that went with that, Dolphin Healing Hearts, a gateway to the new paradigm. And I didn't even really know what that meant. Of course, I knew what a new paradigm was, but I didn't know what they meant by that with relation to what I was going to create. What the dolphins told me was that the 7-year inner journey that I was engaged in with them was an experiment. And when I had my awakening that morning in January 2003, that part of my journey was complete. And what I had been wanting from the depth of my being was to be able to resonate and radiate at the frequency of dolphin while in my human form all the time. Not just while I was meditating, not just while I was giving a healing, not just when I was physically with the dolphins, but all of the time in my daily human life. And it, because of the density of the human body compared to the fluidity of the dolphin form living in a medium of water, it didn't seem to be physically possible for me to be able to sustain that frequency in this body. But the dolphins found a way to enable me to do that. One of the messages Dr. Peebles gave me about 5 years into my 7-year journey, he said that literally a teeny tiny spirit dolphin entered into every cell of my body and was making changes. And he said, this is more than a rebirth. This is a metamorphosis that's occurring. And he said, it's magnificent what's happening, and he didn't have permission to tell me anything more at that time. But the dolphins made actual changes to my physicality and to my energy system and to my DNA that enabled me to carry their frequencies. And
that would probably account for the story you told me when you were in the water and your legs wouldn't work.
That was more of the dolphin. That was more the mermaid thing. But, yeah, I'm sure.
It would also, it'd be a little of both maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that probably couldn't have happened if I hadn't already had these changes to my physical form.
Right.
Yes, yes.
I noticed that you had some communication with some people from the island of Bonaire. You know,
yes.
I lived on Aruba for a long time, and Bonaire was the island next to us. Is there a project going on now in Bonaire?
Not currently, no. There was a man there, a young man who was quite a visionary, and it was his vision to create the first wild dolphin sanctuary on the planet. It was a beautiful vision. Unfortunately, it just did not manifest. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it didn't. But it was my getting into touch with them and working on their behalf, kind of doing telepathic communication with the dolphins that swam in that area, was so life-changing for me. And one of the dolphins that I met, an elder of one of the bottlenose pods that reside off the coast of Bonaire, is talked about in my book. There's two chapters on grandfather. And he still is with me, and he does a lot of work with humans interdimensionally. So that was so profound for me to have that experience and to meet grandfather and his pod and to journey with them interdimensionally.
Great. Tell us a little bit about how a person would go about having a session with you. Can you walk us through that?
Absolutely. Our website, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, is dolphinheartworld.com. So go onto our website, and on the homepage there is a link to our current offerings. You can just go there. And I offer two kinds of sessions. I offer a one-hour dolphin energy session, which they've told me people can receive the same frequencies and often more in a one-hour session with me as they would receive actually swimming with dolphins in the wild. And that has absolutely been confirmed by a lot of my receivers. So that's available. And I do something called a personal journey session as well. And that includes about 20 minutes of personal interaction time with me that can be coaching, mentoring, sharing of the wisdom and the lessons that I've learned from the dolphins that might be beneficial to someone given what they're going through in their life, followed by a full energy session that incorporates the energy of ocean and vibrational sound and movement as well. So this is a new level of healing that's been coming in for me that's very, very exciting. And the really deep dive that we make available is the dolphin attunement journey. That is the unique gift that is the result of my 7-year dolphin journey when I woke up feeling brand new. What the dolphins told me is they created a blueprint for humanity. They actually created a new spiritual path for humanity as a result of that journey that I went through. And that gift of having our physical human forms metamorphosized to be able to carry and radiate the dolphin frequencies is made available through what we call the Dolphin Attunement Journey. And it's a series of 6 spiritual initiations that are delivered directly by the dolphin consciousness. They're now able to be delivered remotely, so we have people worldwide calling in and receiving these dolphin attunements that are just beyond anything that certainly I have ever experienced before. And there, the period of time to receive them is about between 8 months and a year, because it is such profound change that happens to the physical body that, that time is needed in between to integrate them. So those are the three things that are available to, through Dolphin Heart World right now through me.
Okay, great. Okay, I'm going to turn the show over to Anastasia and to Arielle. It's been my pleasure, Linda, talking with you, and maybe we have some listeners that would like to call in and ask some questions, but I'll turn it over to you, Arielle.
Thanks, Lavendar.
Okay, well, as Lavendar said, the phone lines are now open, so if you have a question or comment that you would like to give to Linda, please press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to come on the air. And we, of course, they're starting to light up now. before we get there, Anastasia, do you have a comment or question?
Well, I just think that's absolutely beautiful and conveys such beautiful energy. And I was listening to her thinking about Dr. Peebles and one of his principles of his spiritual beliefs was that there would be increased communication with all of life everywhere. So he believed in interspecies communication and connectedness of everything. And it's really no coincidence that he came through to guide her through this. Really must have been a very sometimes difficult experience. You mentioned that you felt alone. You know, you needed to share that with humans. And when we're in need, spirit presents the guides and teachers that we need in the flesh as well as in the spirit. So you're doing a wonderful work here. It's just beautiful stuff. I've had an experience with dolphins myself, and my experience has been just joy, just sheer joy and freedom. And they are beautiful, beautiful beings, and I'm glad you're doing what you're doing for everyone. It's great. Really is part of the ascension of the planet and helping us all to connect with that community and that love that you talk about. So beautiful, just wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, we thank you.
Yeah. I sure do. You know, I have a Native American book that is about the animal medicines, and it explains what each animal brings to us. And just before the show, excuse me, I looked up to refresh my memory about dolphin energy according to the Native Americans, and it is simply called manna because it's about the breath of life. And how to, you know, release emotions, and it really tied into the message that you had on your site. It says that dolphins' message is it is their desire to heal the hearts of humanity, and I just thought it was interesting that there was a definite correlation, and certainly, I mean, I guess some Native American tribes were on the water, but this book was written by somebody who lived in the middle of the country, so the information has been handed down for generations, and it really is about the breath of life. It's the one thing that we can't do without, you know.
Well, I think it's beautiful that Linda recognizes that the first experience was a spirit guide, and of course my mind went to shamanism and animal guides, and that would be my interpretation as well. So she just connects very deeply with the whole dolphin kingdom, and all began with a spirit guide, a dolphin, which is just beautiful. That's just wonderful. People do journey work and drumming and take shamanic lessons and, you know, learn about shamanic practice in order to experience that, and that just happened to you spontaneously because, quite frankly, Linda, they chose you. That's what that's about.
Yes. And I'm just incredibly honored. Really, it's humbling.
Well,
yeah.
Each animal, each representative of what we call the animal kingdom, has a lot to offer humanity. Each signature, each frequency of each species has something to offer. The dolphins, though, as you've said, are about community, love, and joy. And certainly, we need more joy in this world. And if we would find that our hearts resonate with joy, we have to transcend. We have to go up in frequency because joy is the frequency of the highest dimensions. So they represent that. And that's what you're bringing forward for people, joy, which is cleansing. It purifies. It removes obstacles. It tears down walls. It takes away darkness. It lifts up. And just by being in that frequency, you're going to have those experiences. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Well, we have several callers waiting with questions or comments. And first off, we are going to open up the microphone for Joseph. Hello, Joseph. You're on the air.
Hello, ladies. What an exciting program. Linda, it's so wonderful to speak with you. I have had such a fascination with dolphins and whales all my life. I lived in New York City for 30 years, and my signal that it was time to leave was I was walking down the street, and there was this big shadow came over me, and I thought, you know, maybe it was a dirigible or a Zeppelin or something advertising, and I looked up, and there was a huge blue whale swimming above me, and I got the message, it is now time for you to move away from New York. So that journey ended up, interestingly enough, eventually, of my being in Hawaii in 2003. Same time you said that you were there. So I guess not only the dolphins came to see you, but some of us dolphin lovers came as well. Linda, I have always, one of my things that I love the children. I'm most drawn to the children. Everywhere I go, they come to me like the dolphins came to Grandma Chandra. And I'm so aware of the children who we call autistic. I think that's an unfair label, but that's what we call them. And I understand there's been a great deal of work done with the dolphins in healing these children. I wonder if you would address that, if you're aware of it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There is work being done on a lot of different levels. There's a lot of research done.
Yes.
Those children being brought to captive places where dolphins are captive, and there are trained facilitators to facilitate the interaction.
Yeah.
What I feel about that is that the dolphins, with their holographic, their ability to see holographically, they can meet these children where they live. They can access the dimensions in which these children reside, which are beyond where most of us, you know. I
think yes.
They're gifted. They're not. There's nothing wrong with them.
Absolutely.
And so the dolphins are able to meet them and make a connection and give them a tangible physical connection and relationship that helps them kind of wake up and come out of their shell period of time. But yes, the dolphins definitely have a lot to do and a lot of support to give to those children.
Yes. I know I was living next door to a family that had a, quote, autistic, unquote, child, and I could see in his eyes the connection. I mean, we had such a heart and soul and spirit connection, and one day his mother said, would you watch over him? I've got to run an errand. I said, of course. And so I'm there, and I'm looking at this child, and I telepathically said to him, you can talk, can't you? And the answer came back immediately, of course I can. And I said, well, why don't you talk to your parents? And his response was, because they couldn't understand me. He was talking at such a high level that his parents just couldn't comprehend what he was saying. And I realized in that moment, those are the children I'm supposed to be spending a lot of time with. And the chance of working with the dolphins with them is very exciting. So I'll be contacting you and trying to find out a little bit more information.
Beautiful, Joseph. Thank you so much. Yeah, if you think about it, I remember going through a period of my journey when I was so in that realm of dolphin that is holographic communication, telepathic
yes.
communication, and it felt like to speak the one word at a time, linear language, it felt exhausting. It felt dense.
Yes.
It was tiring. So I totally get it.
Yeah, I understand perfectly.
That's not where their energy's going. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for your work.
Joseph.
Thank you for the show today. It was very inspiring and quite informative, and I will be in touch with you very soon.
I look forward to that. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And love to all you ladies, as
always. Always, always love to you, Joseph. Thanks
thank
for
you,
calling.
Darling.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
Joseph is such a dear. We have many callers coming in now with questions, so we're just going to go right down the row here. And next we are going to hear from someone I think you might know. It's Kayla from Sedona.
Oh, beautiful.
Hi, Kayla. You're
Hi,
on the air.
Hi, Kayla.
Oh, you took me down memory lane because, you know, I honestly believe I was sitting in that group, that networking group where you came in and you were telling people about this dolphin experience.
Yeah.
And then I started attending your small groups back in the 90s, late 90s.
Yes.
And you had the green rug.
Yes. Yes, the deep turquoise ocean rug.
Exactly. But that was such a wonderful time, and I wanted to tell you about one of the experiences that I had then because it really did shift things for me. First of all, that there were no words, and you didn't find the need to say the words, and we just experienced. And I swam with the dolphins, and one of the things they showed me, which was such an unusual thing, they showed me that not to be attached to our physical body, that they showed me how to let go and how they make their transition, that there was really, they were still always there, regardless of whether they were swimming with their body or not, if their body was injured or something, and not to be into, not to get my emotion upset because of an injury or something to a dolphin, because to them they had an eternal experience. And it was just such a beautiful thing that I experienced. It wasn't a head knowledge. Nobody told me that experience. Do you understand?
I do. I do.
Yes. And one of the other things was, I mean, I just want to thank you so much. I'm like, I was one of the sleepy starseeds that you helped wake up. Because, you know, at this time, I think, I also learned the dolphins, I work with the crop circle, and I work with the light beings that create the crop circles. Mm-hmm. And they really are the same as the dolphins in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned about the communication and the experience is how we get the most experience, not those simple words that we put together. And it just always meant so much to me, Linda. And
oh,
I would just love to see you sometime.
We're right here, right?
Can we meet in the health food store again sometime?
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm so glad that you brought up what they taught you and gave you the experience of about not to worry when things happen to them physically, because that's probably so many humans are concerned about what happens to dolphins, you know, on the planet, many times at human hand. And the dolphins have never taken me into that arena. They have never, they just say, stay in your joy. Stay in your joy, do your own healing, follow your own heart, create the life of your dreams. That is the best way that you can serve us and the planet. Because they do, they have ways of taking care of themselves that we can't even perceive of. So just don't even go there. So thank you, Kayla, for bringing that into today's call. It's gorgeous.
Such a precious moment. And
thank
you.
Oh, thanks for calling in, Kayla. It's great to hear you.
We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Kayla.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Linda.
Oh, that was wonderful. Okay, next we have another caller, and this is Caroline. Hello, Caroline. You're on the air with Linda Shea.
Hi. Good afternoon, Linda. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hey.
I have a question. I live in the Jersey Shore, and actually I'm moving right on the ocean, and I'd like to know how to call our beautiful friends, the dolphins, to come close by and to say hello to me, because they do come around.
Beautiful. So here's what I would do. Here's what I would do. For example, the night before you plan to go to the beach,
yes.
go into a little meditation, go into your heart, connect with your heart, and when you feel that you're in your heart space, just put out a call to the dolphins that swim in that area. Tell them where you're going to be and when you're going to be there, and tell them that you would very much love to see them in the physical. And this is what I always say: if it is in divine order and divine timing for us to meet, I always am respectful of what they're here to do. So if they don't show up, it could just mean that they just needed to be somewhere else at that time. So not to take it personally, but just really from your heart, I love you. I'm so grateful for the beauty that you bring to the planet. I would love to see you, and I would love to share some time with you. And so please meet me if that serves you.
Aww.
And then simply release it and let it go. And the best thing you can do when you're on the beach itself is to be in a light, playful space. That's what attracts them, is being very lighthearted and in a childlike state of curiosity and wonder and play.
Aw, that sounds beautiful. Can I ask you a silly question now?
Absolutely. That's my favorite kind.
Now that we're going into the seventh dimension, and I know a lot of things are going to happen to human beings, such as not eating meat, which I'm a vegetarian anyway, but that's going to be changing too, our diets. We're going to be a lot more on the vegetarian side. How about the sea world, you know, the dolphins and the whales and the seals, are they going to continue, or are they also going to change and not eat other fishes?
You know what? I've never even asked them that. I can tell you there's a funny story in my book about when I was awakened one night in the middle of, at 3 in the morning, ravenously hungry, and I don't ever do that, and I had just had this very amazing dolphin experience before going to bed, and I just had to get up and go into the kitchen and get something to eat. I was so hungry, and I poured myself a bowl of cereal because that was just the quickest and easiest, and chirping all around me were all these spirit dolphins saying, "How can you eat that dead food?" And I'm like, come on, give me a break, you guys. It's 3 in the morning and I'm a human. This is what I eat. But then I did. My diet did change years later to much more raw, much more living, live food. So yeah, but I don't know how that might shift for them. You know, their bodies would have to change significantly to not require fish protein. I don't know. We'll just have to see how that unfolds.
Tell them to take vitamins. I'm just kidding. I talked to them. Tell them to take the vitamins, fish oil vitamins.
Or that's just fun. From the light, you know.
Thank
maybe
you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I actually heard you before on William Barnett's show, and you are beautiful and wonderful lady. And I thank you for bringing the dolphin healing and bringing them to, we already love them. So now you're bringing a part, an education, that we need to know more about the animal world. And we love the dolphins. So I thank you for all the work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. And you're very welcome. Thanks for receiving us.
Thank you for calling, Caroline.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
You know, Linda, when she asked that question, the first thing that came into my mind is that the dolphins are already in the next dimension.
That is absolutely true.
And they have probably had the same diet for a long time. So they've already made this. I mean, they came in on a higher
exactly.
dimension, and they live on a higher dimension. And I'm sure that their diet is what it needs to be, and they know
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And the fish know that. You know,
and the fish know that.
Yeah, in the natural world, those ideas and judgments just aren't there because it's natural. It's just the way it was set up. So yes,
that's right. And the fish are probably happy to serve that purpose,
absolutely.
And being part of the whole well, cycle there.
Yeah,
that's true. In the Native American tradition, you know, we're taught
uh-huh.
that animals sacrifice. You know, they sacrifice themselves. Indigenous cultures have a prayer of gratitude before they need to take an animal in hunting, understanding that animal sacrifices itself willingly. So it's all very spiritual and very separate from what we normally think in our everyday consciousness. There is a sacred dynamic going on there that we aren't really aware of, generally speaking.
That's right.
That's right. Well, we have another caller, and we are now going to go to talk to Ralph. Hello, you're on the air with Linda Shea.
Hi, hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, thank you very much. Good evening, ladies. And Linda, this is a really fascinating subject because I served on nuclear submarines back in the 70s as a sonar technician.
Okay.
And I used to listen to... make actually recordings of different sea animals that we run into while submerged. And one of the most fascinating ones that I don't know why it was fascinating to me, but it was before I was kind of consciously aware, but the what we call carpenter fish back at that time, the Navy didn't know the difference. They discovered later on that they were humpback whales that made noises like that's how to communicate it. And I recorded those, and for some reason, I listened to those recordings over and over again. I don't know why back at that time, but it was just kind of fascinating to me to listen to that. And
interesting.
But I thought they were really kind of fascinating beings. And I was wondering if... I know that they're very intelligent, and I was wondering if they were aware of the dangers kind of that's happening with the nuclear radiation in the sea.
They're very aware of it, yes,
okay.
And very, very impacted by it, of course, yes.
Yeah. There's a horrible thing that's going on there, around that. Okay, but anyway, I had a quick question about the mermaids. Do you believe they exist? And number two, have you ever communicated with one?
Yes. I do believe they exist. My personal belief is that they're interdimensional. They may be in this dimension. I don't know for sure, but I do believe they're interdimensional. And I won't tell the whole story that I told Lavendar this morning, but I had a couple of years ago, I was in Florida swimming, and I had a very bizarre energy thing happen to me while I was in the water that resulted in me, when I was coming in to shore, as soon as I could put my feet on the ground, I was stopped from going any further. This huge emotion came over me, and I honestly could not take one more step towards shore. And I called out to my companion that was on the beach, and I said, "I can't come in. I can't come out of the water." She came in, and there were two women with me, and they kind of facilitated holding me at the surface of the water as I cried and cried and cried. One was underneath my shoulders and the other was holding my feet. And I felt my legs dissolve. the woman who was holding my feet saw my legs dissolve. And when finally all the tears subsided and I felt like I was able to move and go back into shore, I still was not able to support myself on my feet. My legs were like rubber. Interestingly, my feet turned so that it sounds impossible, but I was able to put weight on the tops of my feet. My feet turned under. And I walked across along the sandy bottom on the tops of my feet, and that felt really good. What I found out later when I came back to home to Sedona was that a mermaid spirit entered into my body and is still with me. And part of what Lavendar got in the reading was that at some point in the near future, I think, that will activate. That mermaid spirit inside of me will activate, and there will be some expression in my work with this mermaid energy. But it was amazing. So, yeah, well, they're very real as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Do you believe they're as evolved as the dolphins are? Spiritually. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm tuning in. What?
Yeah.
I don't know that I have the specific answer to that question. What I sense is that they're part of the same kind of soul family, soul groupings, and the mermaids. Hang out with the dolphins and the whales. It is part of they're all part of the same tribe, so to speak. Yeah, they're very much like cousins, and they're in community with one another, and they all know of one another and are in relationship with one another.
Yeah, well, that's certainly real fascinating. Okay, well, thank you very much. It's a really fascinating subject.
Thank you, Ralph. Thanks for your question.
Thank you. Take care.
Great.
Have a good night.
Thanks for calling, Ralph. Bye-bye.
Well, that's fascinating. That is a really wonderful story.
So mermaids, dolphins, and whales are, I mean, obviously the highest consciousness in the ocean. And are there others, other species that would be part of this soul group that you know of, Linda?
I know that all of the beings of the sea are, I have journeyed with octopus, I have journeyed with various beings of the sea who all, as we've said, all of these beings have incredible gifts, and their consciousness is so beyond what we can perceive. Octopus in particular, I know, is not a planetary consciousness, as dolphin is not an earth consciousness. It comes from the stars, and octopus also are star beings that have taken form in the ocean. And the deep sea beings, I'm only beginning to journey into the depths of the ocean in my daily meditations and meeting and communing with the deep sea beings. I don't have contextual information to share yet, because it's still energetic and sensory, but it's incredible. It's incredible the beings that are inhabiting our oceans
that is
where they source from and what they're bringing.
Linda, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If I might, Arielle, and then I'll
okay. Yeah, we have another caller, so we'll be getting
Linda,
to you soon.
I'd like to know if you've always had an affinity with water. Are you a good swimmer? When you were a child, were you interested in the water? Did you play in the water? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I was a fish. I was a fish.
Why am I not surprised by that?
Yes,
tell us more.
When my parents got us into a public swimming pool and took all of our kids to swimming lessons, and as soon as we were able to swim our first lap, we were on the swim team, so I think I was 7 years old. And every day of every summer, from sun up to sundown, all of us were in the water. So very, very much. And one of the stories that I'll share is part of the swim team practice was swimming as far as you could underwater on one breath. so holding your breath. Mm-hmm. And I love to practice that when during just the open swim time in the afternoon, in the days, and I would go down under the water and hold my breath for as long as I could, and then when I got to the place where I needed to surface, I did something instinctively with my jaws, and I swear I was able to extract oxygen from the water.
That
and
is
stay crazy. Longer.
That's
and then my mind kicked in and told me it wasn't possible and I came to the surface. But I've shared that, and other people have told me that they've been able to do the same thing. So
that is
wow.
such a wonderful demonstration of how the logical mind interferes with our
yes.
with our natural capabilities.
Yes.
If we're not told that something is impossible, it's possible. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful story to share.
Yeah, you know, I have to ask you this, Linda. I don't know if this happens to you or if this is just like a meaningless thing, but I have dreams where I'm under the water and I'm holding my breath, and my logical mind says, you have to hold your breath. But then all of a sudden I'm running out of breath, and I kind of like sneak a breath, and I go, oh, you're not allowed to breathe under the water. And I'm there like hoping no one's noticing that I'm breathing and I'm under the water.
Right.
Like, I don't know if that's just, you know, meaningless dreamscape.
No.
But
well, considering
yeah.
the topic tonight, I think that really is a setup for some awareness going on here, because that is not a coincidence that you have those dreams and then we hear this experience that Linda's had. So that's
yeah.
pretty profound. It's all interconnected in my mind.
Well, it must be.
Wonderful.
It must be.
Wonderful.
We do have another caller with some questions or comments. So we're going to move on now and speak with Diane as soon as I get your microphone open, sweetie. Okay, Diane, you're on the air with Linda Shea.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Yes. This is most exciting, and I just thank you so much for bringing Linda on here and making me aware of her work, and I'm very excited about it. Linda, I own a bed and breakfast in Somerville, South Carolina, called the Pink Dolphin.
Oh, wow.
And I do swim with dolphins, and I've had some amazing experiences actually swimming with humpback whales, even more than the dolphins, the energy and the messages that they have brought me, and I so relate to the work that you're doing as well, and they're beautiful beings. And the main reason I wanted to call, I want to be sure to get this out, is when you all were talking about the DNA of dolphins and that work, I don't know who brought that up, but I just yesterday saw that there is a place, I'm not really sure, you all may all be aware of this, but Stephen Wise has a project called the Non-Human Rights Project, and he is working to give dolphins and whales the rights. And I was hearing that about the DNA and thinking this is information this man needs to help him build his case for giving these beautiful beings rights and taking it to the legal arena. So I don't know where that information is, who came up with that, but I would love to be able to make sure that it's connected so that this man also knows that. It's like,
I can tell you, Diane, that all I was just doing internet searching, and I found this man's name is David Busbee, B-U-S-B-E-E, of Texas A&M University. He's a geneticist. So I'm sure that if you just put his name in there, hang on a second. Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to go look this up for you. But you can continue with Linda, okay?
Well, my question actually, I think I wanted to be sure that came out, but my question was also your experience, what you have gained as far as insight about the extraterrestrial planetary, where the dolphins came from, because I'm getting both Sirius and Pleiades. I know the Pleiades works with dolphins quite a bit, but I also feel that they're from Sirius. What is your insight into that?
Yeah, they're most attributed to Sirius. There absolutely is a strong Pleiadian connection also. And even beyond that, their consciousness, so what we've been told is their consciousness is so vast that it actually spans universes.
Wow.
So this is a huge, vast, ancient, timeless, eternal consciousness that has come to this planet in physical form. And another piece of information that came to us early on is that the dolphins and the angelic realm both came to planet Earth at about the same time.
Mm.
And their purposes are the same, protectors, carriers of light, protectors for humanity. But the dolphins chose to take physical form just to have, you know, be accessible and to be physical and tangible and something that we can see, touch. So, yeah, but definitely Sirius is where they come from in physical and very strong Pleiadian connection, absolutely.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Beautiful.
My first experience with being with humpback whales and when I was with a mother and calf, and it was like the most spiritual experience I've ever had. The harmony that they were with where they were in their lives and how their lives played out. And it was almost like they loved the experience of life in the water and wanted us to embrace that, the experience of life in whatever form, you know, whatever form it took. It was just, was incredible. So, yes.
Diane,
but,
thank you. That's
yes.
Absolutely true. Yes.
Yes. And then I have to also add that then I get on the, I have the numbers, so I get on the radio and listen, and then all of a sudden I did finally get to the actual website and to see your face and to see the cover of this book, and about a whole new thing came to me when I was actually in Sedona and standing in one of the vortexes that was expanding and looking over the red rocks. And I totally felt that it was full of water, and I saw the dolphins, and then I saw your book, and I went, that's what I saw right there. Incredible.
I love it. Yep, the ocean is alive and well in Sedona, Arizona.
Wow. I want to read the book, but I'll have to have it just so I can see that cover. Beautiful choice. Just remind me of that beautiful
experience.
Diane,
if you go to Reef Relief Founders, I just put it into Google, and it's Reef, like R-E-E-F, and Relief Founders, and then Dolphin DNA. It'll take you right straight to that article, and you can take it and deliver it where it needs to go.
Oh, perfect. I will.
Okay,
great. I will pass this on, and I so appreciate that coming up. So we will do what we can, do our work.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
You so much,
well,
everyone.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah.
And I love that, Pink Dolphin. That's a great name for a place.
It's a great name.
It is a great name. So thank you so much for calling in, Diane.
Well, you're welcome. My dolphin house, actually, I didn't even know why it got named the Pink Dolphin to start with. I mean, I have a little sequence of events that happened there that caused the name, but then I realized, as I'm a Reiki master teacher, and I realized that this was the dolphins, of course, are the intuitive healers, and the pink was the color of the heart, so it was
right.
An intuitive healer of the heart, so absolutely.
It's thank perfect.
Diane, may I add a little more insight into the pink dolphin for you?
Oh, absolutely, please.
Do you know about the Amazon River dolphins?
Yes, I do.
And they're referred to as pink dolphins also.
Yes.
Yes.
And I didn't even realize they existed when I named the house. And then
Someone
found
that. Yes.
And they're shapeshifters.
If you get my book, Diane, there's a chapter in there called Chuckles. And it's all about an Amazon River dolphin that I visited in the Pittsburgh Zoo when I went back home to visit my family. It is an extraordinary chapter that makes almost everybody who reads it cry. Mm-hmm. So if you read one chapter in my book, that's the one to read.
Well, I'll read the whole book.
Great.
Awesome.
But look for Chuckles.
I would definitely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Diane. We're going to move on to our next caller, and we really appreciate your input.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, as soon as I get the switchboard, considering Mercury's retrograde, it's acting up a little bit, but it's not too bad. Okay, we are going to next talk to Donna. You're on the air with Linda Shea.
Hi. I wanted to let you know that there was a mermaid found on the Animal Planet channel. They had a whole documentary on it. And you
really?
Can go and you can YouTube it, Animal Planet Mermaid. There's all kinds of, you know, YouTubes on it. I didn't actually see it, but my friend Diane Lamarine, she watched it twice. And
so did I. What I can share about that, Donna, I watched it the first time and was absolutely, you know, amazed, and lots of puzzle pieces came into place. But there were also some things about it that didn't seem quite, that seemed a little bit, you know, I questioned. Uh-huh. And it's actually what's called a mockumentary. I was devastated to find out that on one level, it's fictional. On another level, there's a lot of truth to it. All the scientists that were interviewed, they're all actors. And if you look at those were the pieces that didn't ring true, because it kind of looked a little cheesy, the background, and it looked dramatized. But there is definitely truth to it. So, that's something for people who are interested in mermaids, that's something to check out.
Yeah, well, like I said, I didn't see it, but my friend...
Uh-huh.
Saw it two different times.
Yeah.
And so I was just saying that it's on the
yeah.
YouTube if anybody wants to watch Animal Planet.
That's right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you have to pick through, and what resonates is truth.
Exactly.
Is truth for you.
Exactly.
And and it's just a shame that they would have to take something that's potentially very exciting and fluff it up a little bit. You don't need the fluff. You know?
It was
well done.
It was very well done. Okay.
Okay, we have one more caller, and we are going to open up the mic. Okay, there it goes. Hello, Mark, you are on the air with Linda Shea.
Namaste. Lovely and blessings to everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back in the 80s when I went on a whale watch, and ever since then, I mean, I've always had very close connection with all the whales and the dolphins, and I even had a dolphin crystal Reiki class years ago, and that was definitely an incredible experience each time, and it's really, I know for a fact that they actually are helping me with my energy and healing work that I do, because I do toning. And I know that when I'm doing the tuning, sometimes I actually can know that they are present with me. And it's like, wow, it's incredible. Them and many other light beings are working with me. It's just incredible working with the dolphin and the whales on multiple levels.
Beautiful.
Well, we're all in agreement there. So did you have a request from Linda?
Linda, when I'm doing the tuning and I'm feeling that conscious connection with them, and to bring more clarity or more of a focus with their frequencies, let's just say I just want to focus on their frequencies, not other ones that may be coming in,
mm-hmm.
or what have you, do you have any ideas or guidance you get from them?
What you can do, Mark, is ask, set the intention for only the dolphin frequency to come through, and ask all of the other energies to step aside just for either if you want the whole session or for a period of time in the session, and they will honor that. They will honor that. So that you can have the experience of just the dolphins, and your receiver can have the experience of just the dolphins for a period of time.
Cool.
Yeah.
I just love everything that you're sharing. It just resonates true for me. I just love it.
Oh. Now, you might, Mark, be interested in go to my website and look at the information about the Dolphin Attunement Journey. Because people who go through the Dolphin Attunement Journey, they're particularly healers who are working with dolphin energy. Every attunement that you get through, this particular kind of attunement, the Reiki attunements you received are something different. But
right.
These attunements, every one you receive, you're going to gain access to a broader range of the dolphin frequency than is available to people in general.
Sounds like fun to me. Sounds like
yeah,
playtime.
So if this is something you want to journey further with and deeper with, that might be a path for you to explore.
All right. Well, I already have your website open, but I haven't had a chance
right.
to look it through yet. So
yeah.
I'll definitely be contacting you.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Mark.
Great. Thank you so much for calling in, Mark.
All right. Love, love, love as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I always know when we've had a really great show because all of a sudden I look up and, oh, my gosh, it's almost over. So we just have a few more minutes, which I would like to use to thank you so much for the work that you do and for helping to bring people's awareness to the dolphins and to all that they have to offer humanity. So thank you so much. And I do encourage all of our listeners to check out dolphinheartworld.com and get Linda's book and start your own dolphin journey. And you do personal one-on-one sessions as well, bringing dolphin healing to individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And you can do this remotely over the phone to anyone, anywhere in the world.
That's right.
And we do have a global audience with this show. We have people listening really all over the world.
Mm.
So the call has gone out.
Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity. It's been fabulous.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight, Linda.
You're so welcome. It's
been an honor to spend this time with you and your dolphin family.
Thank you.
So I'm... little dolphin message there. Yeah, they really do have a funny. I mean, not peculiar funny, but they make you laugh because their physical voices. It does sound like they're laughing, and it just sounds so. It makes you giggle right along with them. Yeah. So thank you so much, Linda, from DolphinHeartWorld.com. I'll get that out there one more time. And on behalf of all of the Starseed Radio Academy, I thank all the listeners. We will be back next week, same time, same place. And we look forward to getting to know you better through the show, through the forum, through the websites. So, Linda, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And everyone, have a just a wonderful week. So, good night, all.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.